Lemon Pepper Parlay is presented for the people by Caesars Sportsbook, the greatest sports betting app of all time. Download it. Must be 21 or older. That's right. It's another edition of the Lemon Pepper Parlay Podcast. I'm your host, Martin Weiss, joined here with the kid from Kansas City himself, Mark Gunnels. And first of all, Mark, we have to give congratulations to Jonathan Ozarow. He got seven right, and won the February prop quiz. And right now you can go to extrapoints.com/arcade, which I'm sure you've already done, and take the March edition of the prop culture quiz. That's all Oscars facts, Mark. In fact, here's your first one. Which movie will win the Oscar for Best Picture? Would you like the choices?
Yes, please.
I figured so. Top Gun, Maverick, Everything, Everywhere, All at Once, Avatar, The Fabelmans, Banshees of Inisherin, or Elvis?
Top Gun, Maverick. Give me Top Gun.
You know why he picked Top Gun there? His son is named Maverick. That's the only through line. And potentially, I'd say of these movies,
is that a good choice?
I'm going to guess under 1.5 total scene by Mark Gunnels.
Where are you putting it at?
Under 1.5. I'm taking under 1.5. Put the line at 1.5.
Actually, it's 2. So you're
wrong. Which 2?
Top Gun and Avatar.
You know what? That is another take by Dave Damashek that is aging like milk. Because I went into work the other day and said, I don't know anybody that's seen Avatar. And all 4 people in the room turned their heads to me and said, I saw it. You never asked. And then this one too already. He's seen it. So maybe, Dave, you need to ask more questions. And the question, one of the things you should be asking, and as I like to get your response to this kid from Kansas City, yesterday Dave Damashek said that Patrick Mahomes would be worth less than 4 or 5 wins on any NFL team. Your thoughts?
That's my first thought is laughter.
You heard the audio. We played it for you right before you walked in. And if you want to hear it, anybody listening, go back to Tuesday's Extra Points after the Jimmy Kimmel interview. Dave just...
And then he also said the Chargers, if Mahomes on the Chargers, they may be worth a game or two more. Maybe. And then he also mentioned the Pittsburgh Steelers. And they won 9 games this year with Kenny Pickett and Trubisky playing some. And they won 9 games, still went over 500. You're telling me you put Mahomes on the Pittsburgh Steelers with Tomlin and all that talent around him offensively, and then you got a pretty good defense there, obviously, with T.J. Watt. They're not winning 14? I think they're winning 14, maybe 15 games. I think they're a Super Bowl contender. Like you said, the floor is the AFC Championship game.
If he's in Pittsburgh. My opinion was you put Patrick Mahomes on any team in the NFL, congratulations, you've now advanced to the second round of the playoffs. Now, if you put him on a team like Pittsburgh, congratulations, you are in the AFC Championship game. We'll see what happens from there.
The ceiling is higher. The floor is higher, too.
Yeah, but I mean, you put him anywhere across the league, congratulations, you've now made it into the second round of the playoffs.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. Yeah, 100%.
Okay. Now that we can agree on that, Dave had another question for you.
What's that?
Let me see if I can summon my Dave. Now, Mark, you've had your Super Bowls. Would you rather Patrick Mahomes or an NBA team in Kansas City?
Oh, this is an easy one. Patrick Mahomes. Come on now. Like what?
I figured this one.
Yeah, I mean, I would love to have an NBA team. Don't get me wrong. But, I mean, I'm winning Super Bowls every other year at this point. And I have the best quarterback in the world. And, you know, I said before, and I told you, you're like, what does that mean? He's the most talented quarterback to ever play the position. So I'm
still, means nothing.
I'm not getting rid of him, and he's 26, 27 years old. I'm gonna take it. I want to keep seeing parades in Kansas City on Grand Street. I want to keep being in AFC Championship games. It's the Arrowhead Invitational for 5 straight years. I don't see why it's gonna stop next year. So yes, I love the NBA. You know, I love hoops. I do want to have an NBA team there, but why can't I have both? Why do I have to pick?
Well, in the world of Shaq,
why do I have to pick?
Both is not an option.
Mahomes could be a part owner. He has a $1 billion coming in. He can make it happen.
Do you know that TikTok page I send you every so often? Your rich BFF.
Yeah,
it's this Asian girl, Vivian. She's your rich BFF and favorite Wall Street girlie. She actually had this whole big run about how Mahomes is living under his means. It's like, she's like, I don't know anything about him, but I know he only has a $2 million house and a $50 million contract. And, yeah, so there you go.
Hey.
Another reason why you should give her a follow.
I mean, he brought Whataburger to Kansas City. Why can't he bring an NBA team?
I mean, Whataburger, the NBA, one and the same.
Have the Whataburger inside the arena.
You know what it really is? And we'll stop talking about Dave after this. But what it really is, in my opinion.
I like slandering Dave. Can't keep it going.
Well, it's pretty easy. Low-hanging fruit. But what the problem is, when you've had a quarterback for so long, like he had Ben Roethlisberger, you start to lose focus and what's the rest of the league has got going on.
Yeah.
You know, it starts to lose focus on what it's like to have, you know, Andy Dalton and Taysom Hill as your guys behind center.
You got Derek Carr now, baby.
And then being excited about something like that. That's how you get excited about something like that. It's because you have Andy Dalton and Taysom Hill behind center. See, that's what happens. He's lost his North Star, which was Ben Roethlisberger.
Yeah.
And now that Ben Roethlisberger is gone, he's bumping into all the rocks along the shore. You know, he's trying to discredit this guy, discredit that guy. Just let it go.
Right, just let it go, man.
Just let it be.
Yeah.
And all will be fine. That's all you need to do, Dave Damashek. But let's take a quick break and then actually talk about the NBA.
Oh, wow.
Spoiler alert, you're not going to win every bet you place. But with Caesars Sportsbook, win or lose, every bet gives you reward credits and tier credits, which you can exchange for the best perks in the game. Hotel stays, VIP experiences, sports and concert tickets, and more. Download the Caesars Sportsbook app and start earning with Caesars Rewards.
If you have a gambling problem, in Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, Wyoming, Kansas, affiliated with Kansas Crossing Casino, call 1-800-522-CASINO, call 1-800-522-4700. Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. Licensed to Horseshoe, Bossier, City, and Harris, New Orleans. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Pennsylvania, affiliated with Harris, Philadelphia. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER, which is 1-800-426-2537, or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. New York, call 877-8-HOPENY or text HOPENY 467-369.
All right, Mark. So yesterday, on last week's episode, you did told this story how you were in Phoenix at a strip club, and so I think the only logical follow up question is to ask you, when you go to the strip club, how quickly do you take your shirt off, and how many guns do you show in your Instagram live videos?
The answer to both those questions would be, I don't do neither one of those things. First of all, I think it's kind of weird to take your shirt off in a strip club. Because unless you're a stripper,
it's kind of their job.
Yeah,
it's kind of their part.
Yeah. So
it would be like to me. It's like to me. It's like buying a ticket to a game and then trying to throw the football or shoot a basket.
No, man,
you bought the ticket to watch.
Yeah,
that's like, their job.
I'm here to get entertained by you guys. And then I actually don't own any guns, so I would definitely not have any guns inside the strip club. And none of my friends that I go to the strip club with will have guns on them. So yeah. I would do neither. And if I did, I definitely wouldn't go on IG Live with
one,
it.
One has
show
to
the
ask,
world.
Does Mark Gunnels actually protect himself in public? You're moving with I'm just joking. But obviously, John Morant, this is like, you know what they say, like the cherry on the top? This was the definition of the cherry on the top, right? Because it was all of these, like, you had the little sprinkles of the story of the finish line. Then you had the little banana of the fight outside the house. Then you had the ice cream, you know what I'm saying, just of all the smoke around it. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, he decides to go on his own Instagram. And that's the thing. It's not like somebody caught him. It's not like somebody was like, ooh, you know what I see? I see John Morant holding a gun up. Let me snap a pic and call TMZ.
Yeah.
Nah, I didn't have to. Yeah. All you needed was John Morant's Instagram live notifications on. You'd be good to go. He took a selfie.
Yeah, and I can't wait to hear your perspective on this because, you know, we've been kind of going back and forth on this Ja Zion thing, not to go on that direction. you know, Zion hasn't been available. And I said I would have picked him in the first overall pick. So you've been kind of taking your victory laps on that or whatever. And that's fine. And I'm not here to do that.
So my full disclosure, why I take victory laps on Zion Williamson is because I said the boy should be playing football. He don't got a body built for basketball. And it seems as if I've been proven correct. And when you have the number one overall pick in the draft, of which my hometown team, the New Orleans Pelicans, did, you should try to pick somebody whose body looked like it's built to play basketball. That was my take and remains my take.
Thanks for the disclaimer there. Okay, and then now we come full circle here, right? And saw a report from the great Mark Stein that it's an automatic 50-game suspension if you have a firearm on the team plane. And they're investigating right now. And if that were to be the case, that means he would be out for the remainder of the season, including the playoffs. Yeah, I mean, that's not good.
It would be the remainder of this, yep, that would be, yeah, that would be not great.
It would actually bleed into a little bit of next season, too. So, you know, obviously, when we were having these discussions, you didn't think that Ja was... and maybe in some gang-related activities or whatever is going on there and having flashing guns, but here we are in 2023.
I'll say this. About his junior year, his rookie year, I should say, not his junior year, after his sophomore year of college, his rookie year in the NBA, I was like, that's some interesting – oh, those are interesting celebrations. I'm not in a gang. I know some gang members are new at some point. That was back in Detroit. I don't know anybody out here that's currently in a gang banging. But you could tell. I'll put it like this. When somebody tweeted me an Instagram Live video when I was talking about this on my radio show on Fox Sports Radio, 7 to 10 Eastern, Channel 83 on Sirius and iHeartRadio.
Nice shameless plug there.
There's no... Oh, tons of shame. But somebody tweeted me this video, and it was like a minute and a half long mashup of Ja Morant, hanging out, right? That's mm-hmm. the best way to put it, with all a bunch of people who seem to be under the influence.
Are you talking about like the pool party or whatever?
It was like
having
a pool party, yeah. But it was like, it seemed like it was a few different videos.
It was like a mashup.
Whether it was somebody's story okay. that was cut up, but it would seem like it would jump every 15 or so
yeah,
seconds.
He has right? like a big bottle in his hand.
Just, so that's why I say he appeared to be under the influence, because he appeared to have a bottle of Don Julio 1942 in his hand and put it up to his head every so often. So I guess he switched it up with water. You know, I don't know. I've been known to, recycle, you know, so potentially, but doubt it. Anyway, in all these videos, it had this thing pinned. It said M, B, and O. And it was like it'd be like M, B, N, O, L, F, G. I know what LFG stands for, let's F and go, right? Mm-hmm. Or it'd be like M, B, N, O, for life. I know what for life means. That's easy enough. Mm-hmm. So I Google it. Up pops the NBA inked page, and it says... MBNO tattooed across his chest. Similarly, if you can imagine, in the Thug Life Tupac way, right? It's about the same real estate per body, right? MBNO, and it stands for My Brothers None Other. And what I said at the time, I'll say it again. I don't know if you're in a gang or not, but what I do know is that's the type of tattoo the judge is going to ask you about in case you ever have to go see him.
It's not good. You're going to have to answer to that, right?
Just ask Young Thug.
Yeah. I wonder when did he get the tattoo? Did he get it in college? Did he get it when he first got drafted? Are these guys or members or whatever they are, they located in Memphis? I'm really curious to see the timeline of the tattoo.
So according, again, to this is official NBA buzz, Ja Morant added a ton of new tattoos this quarantine. So, it was looking like a 2020 addition to the body. Mm. But that was my big thing. Because you can legally carry in Colorado. You can legally carry in Tennessee. Now, there's obviously laws that go along with legal carry. Like, you're not supposed to legal carry under intoxication. Like, while being drunk. Mm-hmm. So on and so forth. Some places, like different entities, can say you're not allowed to have a firearm in here, you're not allowed to have a firearm in there. From what I know of the place that he's been, I've never been to Shotgun Willie's. I had some friends in Denver, and they was like, you know, Shotgun Willie's is the type of place that we would have gone in undergrad, which means Shotgun Willie's is a place that there's no reason at all why you need to be a multimillionaire NBA player to go and get 5 cent tequila shots. You know, that's just not, you know, but, you know, I don't know. I've never been a 24-year-old multimillionaire, but if I was one, I would have somebody else hold my guns.
And when I first saw it, the video, I mean, it was real dark in the background, obviously, but it didn't appear that it was like a normal strip club to me. I feel like it was like in somebody's basement, like in the hood somewhere.
I assumed
like,
it was in a private room.
Like a house party. Yeah, it had to be because there wasn't no bright lights or I didn't even hear like where there was a music playing, but you know, it just didn't have that feel of a normal club environment. So, yeah.
Yeah, he was. I assumed he was in a private room somewhere.
Yeah.
My big thing was, you know, no shirt, weirdo behavior, double weirdo behavior. I seen a ton of videos with people holding guns. I seen a ton of guns in person. I've never seen somebody hold a gun to their own head. Odd. And that's why, seriously, I've never seen somebody hold a gun to their own head and be like, this is cool. It's always been like, you know, this isn't great. Things are going bad.
I actually have seen that before. A lot of people do pose, like, putting the gun to their head, like, to look cool. Like, that's a thing I have seen before.
That must be a Kansas City thing. I don't know.
Well, John Moran's not from Kansas City.
Yeah, but, you know, Midwest, you country. I don't know. I don't know what that's about.
No, he's from, what, South Carolina?
Close enough.
Yeah.
No, but that was my big concern, though. Honestly, outside of the fact that I thought, you know, you can't be practicing good gun safety, right? Just in general. Like, every one of these stories seems to have a gun involved. And it just takes one accidental discharge to, you know, shoot yourself literally in the foot or in the leg. Like, we joke about Cheddar Bob doing what Plaxico Burress actually did. You know what I'm saying? He turned out all right. He's on Fox Sports Radio now.
Yeah.
You know, it's not... it's not great, especially because now you're getting into where is the gun? How did the gun get transported? Because you were in Colorado. If you were in Tennessee, you have a better, you have more of a case, but it's going to be hard. I'll put it like this. One of them MBNOs better be talking about how they were the ones that transported this gun to Colorado. They were the one that brought this gun into the club. And Ja took it from them for that 30-second period and then gave it right back. Because if not...
But here's the thing, though.
Like, what are you doing?
Do they fly with him on the team plane to Colorado? I highly doubt these guys are shipping a gun from Tennessee to Colorado.
No, but they probably... I mean, they're not on the team plane, but they're probably flying private.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I would imagine that would be the case.
Okay.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like... If you're flying private, it's different. You're going through different security, but that's why they go to Teeter Bar and not LaGuardia.
Okay, I guess that would be the best case scenario for your job, Morant.
That to me is best case scenario.
Yeah.
But that was the thing that I didn't understand. And Jalen Rose alluded to it on NBA Countdown. Like, I'm not a professional basketball player, never have been. Mm-hmm. But I did very much understand this concept because, I don't know, my dad was this way. But when you make the money in the house, you're the one in charge.
Yeah.
And I feel it very much in my home now, as the sole rent payer in this MF. I'm in charge.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so that's kind of what, you know, people were talking about, where's John Moran's dad in this scenario? Where's his dad supposed to be? First of all, his dad be lit at every game. You can do what you want. I don't care. But I'm not necessarily thinking that this is supposed to be the bastion of parenting. Just based off the way he seems to be much more interested in being a celebrity than being a dad. Mm-hmm. Like, and if you notice too, he'd be talking mess about his kid. He'd be like, Ja played terribly.
Yeah, yeah.
Everybody want to come at LeVar Ball. You know, he never did disparage his kids.
Yeah, he always uplifted them. He always talked, even if it was very delusional.
That would be, my kid is better than LeBron and Steph Curry combined.
Yeah.
Like, well, nobody gave him, you know, okay, but. It's not that he's saying he went out there and was trash.
Yeah.
Because Steph ate him up, you know. But anyway, that was my thing. Wondering if the gun got on the plane or anything like that. I would hope that one of his MBNOs would sit there and claim that weapon because you can't go down like that. And I also will hope that he learns his lesson here, because the lesson to me to learn is, it's like, bro, first of all, you could look at it like you can't do this on the internet. You also could look at it like,
you shouldn't do it at all.
Where are the rest of my teammates around me? Because it's not like it was Desmond Bane and Jaren Jackson Jr. in the back throwing up Crip signs.
Yeah.
Right? Where is the rest of the people who are successful in this industry that I've been in, that I'm in right now, that I am a all-star starter in my fourth year?
That's
right?
A great point. Because none of these videos, you never see none of his teammates in none of these videos that you like the mashup you said earlier, the different parts of him like partying and stuff. You didn't see none of his teammates in none of those videos.
So,
except on the plane, I saw like one video. He was like drinking Casamigos or something, but that was like on the team plane.
I don't give a damn if you're drinking Casamigos. Yeah. I don't care.
Yeah.
LeBron got his own tequila.
Well, yeah.
You're smoking cigars all the time. Walked in the Staples Center 2 years ago with a glass of red wine.
Yeah. Shout out to Lobos.
You know what I'm saying? Like, but it's just like, how are you setting yourself up to be successful, bro? Because if you look at all the other people in this field who have been successful, that's like, they're not wielding guns, bro.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They don't hold guns. Like, I'll have a gun because I'm worried somebody's going to break in my house. If I'm John Morant, you know what I'm worried about? Nothing. Because I got full-time security in the gate in front of my joint.
Yeah. Yeah, I hope he gets it together, man. I really do. I really can't wait to see what this investigation leads to, because on the basketball perspective, I mean, Memphis will obviously be cooked if he's done for the year.
Well, they've really been cooked since since Dylan Brooks called Shannon Sharp a pedestrian.
Yeah. Yeah. And now, you know, Brandon Clark's out for the year. Steven Adams, I don't know when he's going to play again. It's a mess. It's a mess in Memphis, man.
It is. And they just saw they're now tied for third in the West with Sacramento. I think Sacramento has the tiebreaker.
Yeah, the Kings are technically the second seed in the West right now.
But I know that everybody below Memphis is looking like, how far will you fall? Because as jumbled as the West is, I think Memphis had a 3.5-game lead. Like, could they be a play-in? Could they fall so far?
I don't think there's not enough games left. So right now, they're, like I said, they're third right now technically. And, yeah.
But they're five games back out of the seventh spot.
Yeah, it's only like 18 games left. I don't think that's going to happen.
It'd have to be.
It would be a complete meltdown.
Well, you know, I'll say this. It's not quite Chernobyl in Memphis, but it's looking like the reactors are getting hotter and hotter and hotter as reports come out today that John Morant won't be around for, the two games is going to be much longer than two.
Yeah, they said there's no timetable on his return.
Well, there you have it. Somebody's going to walk through. Seriously, though. Let's say, and if there's 18 games left, they win five. So 5-13. Like, they could be in a world of hurt. They might not get home court advantage.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. If they finish like that, then they definitely would not.
I think it's almost, I might be over my skis, but I bet Phoenix makes up those 2.5 games. I bet Memphis right now is going to be starting on the road in the playoffs.
Well, if that they'll still be four though. If just Phoenix jumps them, they'll be four, unless you think Dallas or Golden State are going to jump them and drop them to five, because then they won't have home court in the first round.
Speaking of Golden State, I would love to say I think Golden State would jump them, but Golden State can't win a road game, and Draymond Green just walking off the court in the middle of the second quarter.
Yeah. I tweeted last night. It's so hard for me to fathom a team that has this much championship pedigree, this much experience. How are they so bad on the road? Do you know their road record? They're 7-20.
I don't know how many they lost. I know they've only won seven games.
7-25. 7-25. That's only better than.
I'm about to say, go look up the Houston Rockets road record.
That's only better than two teams in the NBA.
Who's that?
The Rockets and the Spurs.
And they have what, six?
And they're both 6-27.
Yeah, I was about to say, that's the type of numbers that are normally reserved for the pre-Anthony Edwards Minnesota Timberwolves.
Yeah.
You know? Or how many road wins do the Pistons have?
Seven.
Boom. There you go. Cade Cunningham out for the year. Bojan Bogdanovic shut down. Seven road wins. Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, Remember he walked in and said, welcome to the Warriors Invitational,
yeah,
game 1 of 82?
Yeah.
I don't know, Mark. You punch me in the face at work and nobody does anything about it, I'm not going to like coming to work that much anymore.
You think that still has a lingering effect on this team?
Absolutely. Without a doubt. The idea that it was all overblown, Steve Kerr talking about, this is the biggest thing that I've ever witnessed in my coaching career. But don't worry, Draymond, come get your ring, and then we'll push you back a little while further. The good thing is football season. Nobody's watching this sport anyway. Like, but, like, seriously, I said I had it. I was like, man, they should trade Draymond by the trade deadline. I'd be surprised if he's on the Warriors. He's got diminishing returns as a player at this point in the game. Andrew Wiggins is a better option. And they like what Draymond provides, Wiggins does it, and he can decently shoot a little bit. I wouldn't think he's a knockdown guy, but if you have Steph, Clay, and Jordan Poole around him, right, and he's catching and shooting or running or rim running, then boom, congratulations, unlocked. Right now he's been missed like I don't know like 15 games at this point for some very personal reasons because nobody's talked about them at all.
Yeah, you can't find any Andrew Wiggins updates at all.
Very personal, but personally, that's what I would have moved on from Draymond Green, and I feel like he just proves it in a general basis as you see him walking off the court, and in a game that they need, the Warriors need to win.
Yeah,
Like, do look at Oklahoma City, and you could be playing them in a play-in tournament in a few weeks.
Yeah. I mean, the Lakers are the Clippers, right? And that could be a scary proposition for the Warriors there, especially if they don't have home court advantage. It's really odd. I'm not going to really point it to the Draymond Jordan Poole thing because on the court, at least visually, it's not showing. Like, Jordan Poole is still having a great season.
Visually, I saw Jordan Poole not pass the ball to Draymond Green at the foul line. Draymond Green walked off the court yesterday.
So you think that incident that happened, 5 months ago is why he didn't pass the ball in that situation? Or maybe Draymond Green's just not a good offensive player.
Oh, he ain't never been a good offensive player. So why would that change?
I mean, I don't know. I don't know the analytics on how many times Jordan Poole passes the ball to Draymond Green before the incident.
I know that. I don't know no analytics, but I know Martinlytics. I know that.
Martinlytics. We got to kind of.
Well, I know Martinlytics had
clipped that.
Klay Thompson screaming and crying when Jordan Poole wasn't passing the ball last playoffs.
That is true.
I'm just saying, people don't like when Jordan Poole don't pass the ball. And you know who's the most recent guy to get paid in Golden State? The Michigan man himself.
Jordan Poole.
You got it.
Yeah, so the Warriors right now, they're tied for the fifth seed, but they're technically the sixth seed because the Mavericks own the tiebreaker. I'm still not willing to write them off. I'm not sure where you stand on them as far as moving forward.
I wrote them off at the start of the year. I want to write them back in. I would love to write them back in.
Yeah.
Like, I would love to, but I wrote them off at the start of the year.
Okay, but here's the thing. The West is so – there's not one team in the West that you can hang your hat on and say – with confidence, they're coming out the West. Unless you're going to prove me wrong here, but I don't see a team. The Denver Nuggets. I know you're not sold on them, so I know
that's what I'm saying. So, I would love to pick the Warriors.
Yeah,
but then when I watch the games, especially on the road, this team is disconnected. Do you know what I'm saying? Think about it. The Warriors are lined right now. The sixth seed lined up to play the Memphis, who's limping in.
That would be a great matchup. All right, for so then the Warriors,
then you get either Jokic, who you know from all the past that he got no business on the same court as Golden State, or Phoenix. That'd be tough. You know what I'm saying? That'd be an interesting second round matchup. But I would love to pick the Warriors to go to the finals right now, but I can't do it. Think about it. You're right. There is no team. There's no team in the West right now that you would sit there
and say, like, the Kings are the second seed. That's all you need to know.
But we say that like Boston won the title last year. They didn't. They lost.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, Milwaukee lost last year. When you're talking about there's no team in the West, the one that just won it, the one that has four in the last, seven, 8 years is right there. Primarily the same cast of characters.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't know if we want to jump to this right now, but this kind of leads me into my point from last week. The Los Angeles Lakers.
Don't do it.
Don't count them out. Last week, you were saying, I feel so confident they're not going to make the play-in. Well, guess where they're at right now? They're the ninth seed right now. AD is looking like a top five player in the world.
Don't do this.
And they still don't have D'Lo. He's coming back on Friday. That's the target date. And LeBron is going to come back. As long as they're in the hunt or they're in the play-in in 2 weeks, he's going to come back. I'm telling you, it is setting up perfectly. I would put a futures bet right now and the Lakers come out the West at the value right now. I'm not sure what the number is, actually.
Well, look it up. But, it's on Caesars.
I'm sure the number is very favorable at this point. And like we just said, you would love to say the Warriors. You would love it.
The Lakers out of the West, this guy says. The Lakers out of the West.
Why not?
You know what? You and Dan Vishek need to do a show together.
Why
y'all
not?
Could just say ridiculous things back and forth to one another.
But you just told me you don't have faith in nobody in the West right now. So why is that so ridiculous? The Lakers are at full strength. They're winning games without two of their three best players right now. If they come back, why not? Why not the Lakers?
Because at this point, the Lakers, by definition, are going to have to win a single elimination game to qualify for the tournament.
And you don't think they will?
No. I don't think do I think that Anthony Davis is going to continue the 5-6 game stretch he's had of 30 points, 15 plus rebounds?
But he's not going to have to if LeBron and D'Lo are back.
LeBron ain't coming back.
You don't think LeBron's going to come back?
You ain't seen this man tweeting over the last couple days. He's done. He's talking about LeBron. He's better than league pass. He's talking about he's waking up having dreams. Listen, I just woke up from having a dream that MJ and I were shooting a blank back and forth at the men's national championship game between North Carolina and Duke.
That's a great dream,
great man. Vibes, epic classic game. It was a tie game, 94-94 with 5 seconds left. First of all, high-scoring college basketball game, LeBron.
I love the dream,
with five
man.
Seconds left, North Carolina with the ball. My would wake up to use the bathroom right before seeing the end of the game. Happens all the time.
Such a bummer.
Never get to the end. Anyway,
hate when that
felt
happens,
real
man.
As hell. LOL. Good morning, everybody. This is at 8:11 a.m. on March 5th. Just lying through his teeth.
He's lying? Why would he lie about that?
This is the
biggest, what does he get from lying about that?
This is the biggest lie that LeBron has had since he had the. He said he read Malcolm X in the bubble.
You guys think LeBron lies all the time. Why would he wake up and say, I'm just going to make this tweet a lie about this? Come on, man.
Because he's bored. Because he's locked. He's not locked in on this season anymore at all. He's like, what AD is doing is cute. That's fine. He's going to roll an ankle and he'll be out of here in just a few weeks. It'll all be well.
So I have the Caesar Sportsbook odds up right now.
What are the Lakers
coming out the West?
Okay.
It's at plus 1,400.
What's around them? Who else is?
They have the seventh best odds to come out the West. They're right below the Mavericks at plus 1,000, and they're right ahead of the Kings, which is a big gap. They're at plus 3,300.
Tell you what, man, that's one thing.
And the Kings are a two seed, and they're at plus 3,300.
That's one thing about these sports books, man. They will take a sucker's money any day of the week. How the Lakers got the seventh best odds to come out the West, and they not even in the dance?
They're in the play-in.
They not even in the dance yet. That's ridiculous.
Hey, man, put your ticket in right now, plus 1,400. I'm trying to help you out. I like to see my friends win money.
You know,
that's a good value bet.
You know what ticket I would be super concerned of having right now? Any Mavericks future whatsoever.
They're at plus 1,000 to come out the West.
I hear what they – I see. I heard you say this a second ago, but you know what I see? I see Kyrie and Luka scoring like crazy, and they're not winning.
Yeah, I mean, this is kind of what we expected, right?
They're not – it's just like – there's no defense whatsoever. And Kyrie last night goes, oh, it's all starting to come together. I think our championship window is right there. Like, they don't play any defense at all. Like, when you watch Phoenix and Dallas on Sunday.
Yeah.
Phoenix is just more equipped as a basketball team because they got some guys over 6'6" that can hoop.
Yeah.
Outside of Christian Wood.
Yeah. And they don't even play him as much as they should. They for some reason, they love to play Powell for some reason. Jason Kidd has a man crush on him. I don't understand. He doesn't really bring much. He doesn't protect the rim at all, and he doesn't rebound. But this is kind of what I expected. I thought they would probably win a little bit more than they have so far. But we know when Kyrie Irving got there in Dallas, you know, before that, we were always talking about Luka needs another ball handler, somebody to take the pressure off of him. Luka wears down in the fourth quarter late in the season. because he has to do so much as far as creating for himself and creating for others. So you bring in Kyrie Irving to relieve some of that stress. And that has happened. You know, you see Luka a lot more fresh late in games, but does it really matter when you can't get a stop late in games? And they're so bad defensively to where they're going to be in a lot of games, or a lot of games are going to be close because they can't stop anybody. So they're going to have a lot of these games come down to the last 4 or 5 minutes of the game, and you can't get a stop, and then you're relying on ISO ball. They're not getting easy buckets either. That's the thing, because Kyrie and Luka shoot a lot of jump shots. They're not. It's not like they're attacking the rim at will. They can at times, but that's not their forte. That's not their go-to. So you're a jump shooting team, and you can't stop anybody in the perimeter or from attacking the rim. That's not a good recipe for success, especially when it comes down to playoff basketball.
Duh, not only that, there are teams better at doing what they do. Phoenix right now is also a jump shooting team, but is a better jump shooting team, like across the board, than Dallas is.
Yeah.
And, you know, if we give Russell Westbrook a lot of criticism, and I feel like most of it is rightfully deserved, but Kyrie skates a lot. And I think that if you look at Russ, where he goes, they generally struggle. And when he leaves, they get better. The Nets didn't necessarily get better after they left, because it doesn't help that you also lost Kevin Durant. But I think the Nets are just fine with Cam Thomas being their primary ball handler and making things happen.
Mikal Bridges,
and Mikal Bridges
is
going
balling
nuts
for them.
You know what I'm saying? So you got. I think they're just fine with that. With that scenario, I think Boston is just fine. Deciding, we'll go ahead and keep these young kids who don't know how to win. Mm-hmm. Moving on from Kyrie, mm-hmm. Like I get, Kyrie is mesmerizing with his ball handling skills and shoots the lights out. And like last night when he's like saves the ball from out of bounds, just turns around. Was that last night? He saves the ball from out of bounds, just turns around and hits a three. Yeah, it was last night.
Yeah, that was
I cut the tape this morning.
Yeah,
yeah, but it's like, yeah, it's just like this dude is incredible, but it doesn't translate.
It's the aesthetic of him.
This just doesn't translate.
Yeah, it looks good. It's so pretty when he does it, right? He wows you. It makes you forget about, oh, he just had a couple of turnovers or like three bricks in a row because he just did this crazy crossover and spin move and reverse layup. It's like, oh my God.
To me, it's like Kyler Murray.
Oh yeah, like the boomer. Yeah.
Well, it's like Kyler Murray.
Like he has that splash play.
You'll just see him run around in the backfield for 27 seconds because nobody can catch him.
Remember that play against the Raiders?
That's what I'm talking about. You know what I'm saying? He'll do some things that nobody else can do, but at the end of the season, you know, they've got 8 wins.
Where's the substance?
They've got 8 wins. So, you know, what can you do with that? But that's kind of where I think about. In terms of the West, as much as I poo-poo the Lakers, I feel you when it's wide open, and I'm really trying to convince myself at this point, why won't Sacramento go to the Western Conference Finals? Like that's the reason why we're saying it's wide open, right?
And you know what's funny? I'm glad you said that, because nobody's ever like asked that question or took that angle. We all assume that, oh, they're one and done. The Kings are one and done.
Why won't Sacramento get to the, like, if somebody, like, I don't understand. Like, I get it. They don't have a big, strong, like, wing player. Like, generally, when you see these wings, like, that's who gets you wins in the playoffs. Like, right, you know what I'm saying? LeBron, Kevin Durant. Yeah. Like, those are generally guys that change the trajectory. Whereas you're talking about De'Aaron Fox and Sabonis as the two best players.
Come on, Harrison Barnes on the wing, man.
Exactly. So you're talking about De'Aaron Fox and Sabonis as the best player. That's kind of what I was thinking, though. I was like, Harrison Barnes is serviceable. Like, right, he's not, we don't love him there. Yeah. Like, we could probably do better. In fact, this was one piece away. The piece may be him. But the floor is still high, or higher for a Harrison Barnes than some of these other players that, like, the Suns don't win on Sunday without Ish Rainwright hitting a few threes. And that dude played football 3 years ago.
Shout out to Ish. He's from Kansas City, by the way, too.
He's just a kid from Kansas City.
Yes, sir.
But you get the point.
Yeah, 100%. And I think also, too, the Kings are just new. You look at all the teams in the playoffs right now. We've seen them in the playoffs in recent years. The Kings are just new. You know, we feel like they don't have the experience. You know, we always had that thing where you got to lose before you can win, right? So I think we're kind of – that's kind of clouding our judgment on the Kings. But in the same breath, like you just said, we agree that the West is wide open. There's not one clear-cut favorite that we can say for sure I feel confident they're coming out this conference. So why can't they win a round? We'll see. It all depends on matchups, though. It all depends on who they match up with. Like, as of right now, I know the plan makes it kind of weird, but the seventh seed is Minnesota. I'll take the Kings over Minnesota. I'll take the Kings.
Minnesota. Like, that's the thing. In this scoring league, all right, so we're talking about the Kings who actually have a big presence in Sabonis, and they shoot a ton of free throws, right?
Yeah.
So I'm looking at Dallas, don't shoot no free throws. Phoenix, who's not going to shoot any free throws because Kevin Durant and Devin Booker don't get fouled like that. They're jump shooters as well. Yeah. I look at Memphis. We did the whole first 30 minutes of this podcast on their postmortem. I look at Denver. Maybe. If that's the flavor of ice cream that you like, right? You want Golden State, but they can't win on the road. By definition, they're going to have to win four road games in each postseason round. Because they don't have home court advantage anymore. I don't know if anybody let them know that, but that's where they're at. The Clippers, they just signed Russell Westbrook. Good luck. The Lakers, Anthony Davis is going to get hurt in 10 minutes, and LeBron's should be out for the rest of the year, right? If not, and Zion don't play basketball. Like, why not?
It sounds like you're about to put in the Kings future.
I just want somebody to tell me why. Like, if somebody could legitimately tell me why the top two seeds in the West have zero shot.
Like I said, I think the main thing with the Kings would be lack of experience. That would be the main thing. That would be the consensus that you would get if you asked that question. No experience in the playoffs.
It just makes you wonder. I've been watching this team. I like them.
They're fun. They're fun to watch.
They're fast. The one thing I do see is I see a lot of Kevin Huerter.
Yeah.
It's a lot of Kevin Huerter.
Yeah, they run a lot of actions for him.
And I just remember the Kevin Huerter in the Eastern Conference playoffs when Trae Young and Lloyd Pierce. Rest in peace to Lloyd Pierce's Atlanta coaching career. But when Trae Young and Lloyd, they just went on that run to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah.
And it just – Kevin Huerter was not a big-time player in that stretch.
He did make a couple big shots in that Philly series, though. I will give him that. He made a couple big shots in key moments. But overall, yeah.
I was like, if we're talking about, all right, who's guarding Kevin Durant? The answer is nobody.
Right. But before we move on from the Kings, though, we have to shout out another guy that I thought has been really good for them off the bench. How about Malik Monk? Have you been watching him play basketball?
You know who could use him? The Lakers. he's been balling. I mean, we had 40 off the bench in the overtime game.
Yeah.
But that's part of the thing. It's like, you got – I'll tell you what. You would be hard-pressed to just sign Kentucky guards. You'll be fine. You sign Kentucky guards.
Fox, Monk.
You'll be good.
Booker.
You'll be good. Jamal Murray.
Like, damn, quickly.
You'd be good. Tyler Hero.
Wow.
You'd be good. Kentucky guards. You'd be all right. You know, just sign Kentucky guards and you'll be good. Starting with Rajon Rondo.
Even Eric Bledsoe had a pretty good run, too.
Eric Bledsoe. There you go. Speaking of Emmanuel quickly, though, Bing MFing Bong. How about it? 9-1 in the last 10. Lost last night, but the New York Knicks, are they a real threat in the East? Because here's the thing. We talk like the way that we talk about the West, nobody's got a shot to win. The East is like, well, Milwaukee and Boston. And then some people will say Milwaukee, Boston, and then Philly. But nobody has any faith in the Cleveland Cavaliers, who have a 71-point score this year in Donovan Mitchell, and the New York Knicks, who had the best point guard in New York all year.
Yeah, I mean, I like what the Knicks are doing. I think it's a good story. Jalen Brunson definitely brings a.
He thinks it's a good story. So he thinks they'll lose in the first round.
He brings some stability to the franchise.
It's cute. It's a cute little thing they got going on there, man.
Are you waiting for that? The B word, the butt.
Go for it. But what?
First round, I'm taking the Cavs right now. That's the 4-5 matchup. And I don't see that changing because the Knicks are a game over the Nets. I don't see the Nets passing them. And then the Cavs are three games behind the Sixers. So I think you're pretty much set in stone. That's going to be your 4 or 5 first-round
matchup.
What
I find to be fascinating, though, is nobody is saying that either one of these teams has a shot to make a run. I think that's false.
Well, I think it's because it's calling who you got to play in the second round, though. Because in that 4 or 5, you got to play Milwaukee in the second round. Or if are you going to play Philly if you're 6, which I think the Knicks won't fall to. But you got to play one of those top two teams in the second round.
I think Philly is.
So what is a run, going to the second round and losing?
I think Philly is. As much as I like Joel Embiid, I think that team is. I don't see it. I don't see it. I don't trust them.
I mean, Doc Rivers is the head coach, so I don't blame you.
But it's like maybe it's because I've picked them out the East last couple of years. Like, I don't see how they got much better since moving on. Moving on from Ben Simmons by itself was a net positive. But I don't know how you got much better. Like, since he was on the bench, right? Like, it's not him on the court, obviously, wasn't going to be an option.
Right.
Him on the bench is a distraction. But I don't know how much better they have gotten since moving on from that. Now you got Harden, who's not the same guy. He's playing better as of late.
He's actually playing pretty good.
You know what I'm saying? But he ain't. I mean, there was a period in time when James Harden was leading this league in scoring.
Well, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I'm just saying he's not the same guy he used to be. And again, they don't have a big wing presence because Harden defensively, I feel like, has taken a step back. Because that was one of the things that was when he was at the height of his powers in Houston. One of the things that was a benefit to him is he could go down and guard bigger players.
Yeah, he's a good post defender.
He was a good post defender. He would go down there and guard bigger players,
yeah,
and it would allow Houston to go lighter, right, or to go smaller.
Right.
Now, okay, cool. But I don't know if we can do that same thing in Philly in the same way and just have Embiid be that big dude out there. You know what I'm saying? And then have somebody like – if Philly wants to go up against like a Cleveland, for example, that's going to have Jarrett Allen and Mobley in the past, you would have put Harden on Allen.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Now, I don't think you can do that.
Well, so I think that's part of the reason why they went out and got P.J. Tucker. Now, I'm not sure how you feel about P.J. Tucker in this stage of his career, but I think in the playoffs, I think he's still a viable.
At this stage in the career, P.J. Tucker would be better served as a podcaster.
I think he's still a viable defender at this point of his career. Now, will I feel comfortable with him on a Jason Tatum or Jaylen Brown? Comfortable is probably not the word I would use. But he's a guy that you could put on and try to make it tough for him. He's physical. They tend to let things play more in the playoffs. So I do think that does serve some type of benefit to his style of a defender, being very physical and strong.
I think I just got out on it's like, dog.
But then you got Tobias Harris out there too, though. But and that's not
I've watched PJ Tucker get shot over by so many different players. It's almost like
he's undersized.
It's almost from a height wise. Like when they talk about how Paul George is a great defender, and it may have been true at a period of time, but there is the amount of game winning shots that have been hit over Paul George is something that the internet will have the most fun with. I kind of feel the same way.
Bye-bye.
Right. I kind of feel the same way when we talk about P.J. Tucker as this great defender. Like, wasn't he guarding KD on the shot where KD's toe was just a little too big?
I believe so.
Yeah, that was P.J. Tucker. That P.J. Tucker was guarding, quote-unquote, Kevin Durant in this series that we say would have changed the trajectory of the Nets if Kevin Durant's toe was just this much shorter because he would have beat them single-handedly.
Yeah.
So that's when we get to these, sometimes we get to these guys who talk about their defensive guys, and it's just, I don't know. Like, you want to tell me that Jaylen Brown is sitting down, that's a different story because, you know, he's 25.
Mm-hmm. No, 100%. And then the elephant in the room is Tobias Harris. You're paying him max money. So you're forced to have him out there, and time again, he comes up small in these big moments. And he's a guy that you would look to have to be that third or fourth guy. You still got Tyrese Maxey, though, but he's not the wing guy you're referring to. But I'm talking about as far as, like, just scoring punch off the bench. Tyrese Maxey is the guy that I think you can rely on to relieve James Harden of that duty and also playmake as well.
Tobias Harris. Get you a guard from Lexington, baby.
Oh, yeah, another one, right? And also, too, here's another thing that I think people are always questioning as far as the Sixers being led by Embiid. His motor, right? Like, yeah. Like it seems to be a thing, especially in these playoff games when things get tough. You know, he settles too much for jump shots, which can be infuriating when you're 7'2", 300 pounds. Because we've seen him be dominant. We know he can be a very, very dominant force. But can he do it? Can he sustain it over a 7-game series?
Not even being funny, he needs to watch some Jokic.
Elaborate.
And Jokic will run from the foul line to the foul line, and that's it. And he'll do like 5-6 possessions in a row, and will still be impactful. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, defensively, good luck. But offensively, he's still impactful. And it's not always him shooting the shot necessarily at that elbow. He's not going to shoot from the elbow.
Yeah.
But you'll sit there. He'll take that high post at the elbow, catch the ball, and just wait and play basketball.
Put the ball over your head.
Yeah, just wait and just wait till they come, double, and then boom. You know, here, there you go, Bruce Brown, go dunk it. There you go, Aaron Gordon, there's a lob. Like, Embiid could stand to do some of that. But, you know.
But the thing about that is that's not how their offense is ran, because James Harden is the point guard there. When Jokic is kind of like the point center for Denver. And like, the philosophy and offense is part of the different. Issue.
James ain't the guy he used to be. He don't need to have as the highest usage rate or even the second highest usage rate, honestly.
Yeah.
At this point, I would rather have Maxey bringing the ball up more frequently because he's bringing the ball up with pace.
Yeah.
Harden's bringing the ball up like he got it like –
but is some of that Embiid though? Because they know Embiid's not going to run up and down the court.
Dude, go get a 4-on-5 bucket. Leave him over there.
They're so Embiid centric. They want to set up their half court offense, Martin. They want to give him the ball on the block and say, "Go to work, big man." We're going to wait for you to come down here.
This is the reason why I'm not sold on. This is the reason why. It's like, you know, we're not. How is it that Cavaliers got two players over 7 feet tall, and Donovan Mitchell's the guy to score 71 first this year. Do you know what I'm saying? It's like, you know how because they get the ball and go. If them big fellas ain't there, catch up, big fella. You know what I'm saying? Catch this rebound as I dunk it off this dude's head.
Hey, I think that's a lot of Embiid, though. I think he wants those touches, and he wants them to slow the ball down for him. It's versus in Cleveland, those guys aren't the offensive machines, nowhere near that Embiid is. So they're fine with, you know, running down the court, catch a couple lobs here and there. They're not running the offense, though, those guys. But, yeah, like you said, they probably do need a change of philosophy, but that's not going to happen.
Yeah, it's not. Well, what is going to happen is right now we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll give our 11 pepper parlays. All right, Mark Gunnels, my 11 pepper parlay this week, I spent the last, like, 10 minutes talking about him. Taking Evan Mobley.
Okay.
Doing a little same game.